good morning, Dobri Utra. Buenos dias, Joson. Good morning, Rutgers Community Christian Church. Welcome to this house of worship. Please rise with me as we honor the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Most loving God, we worship and adore you with every fiber in our being. We proclaim that you are the Holy One, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We join with all those who worship and confess that you are Lord in generations past, present, and future, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, to exalt your name above every name. Jesus is Lord. On this Sunday, we pray for our world with humility and yet with confidence, both for the unreached peoples in view of the Great Commission, as well as for the conflicts of war raging between nations. Our hearts are heavy as we pray for the peoples of Israel and Palestine amidst the escalating violence. We pray for national and international leaders to act wisely. We pray for peace, for restraint over evil, for rescue of the innocent, and for comfort upon those affected by unspeakable pain and loss. We pray over the spiritual conflict as well as the physical bloodshed. O sovereign God, we pray that Jesus would be known and your loving kindness would be evident to all through the witness of believers in their midst. Embolden your church, empower your missionaries, and encourage your believers in every corner of the globe as they serve you. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your favor towards our church. We thank you for your faithfulness and steadfast love. We trust you to provide the health, jobs, direction, and hope as we do have needs. Thank you for the unity in essentials, liberty in non-essentials, and charity in all things within our church. Please make us live as faithful witnesses of your word and your work. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let us continue to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3, and I will read verses 20 and 21. I will be reading from the New International Version, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. We praise the Lord for our missions conference speaker this weekend. Pastor Tong Liu is the founder and senior pastor of the River of Life Church in Silicon Valley since 1995. He has been committed in building God's glorious church. And so for over the past 20 years, he has ministered around the world in fruitful cross-cultural mission work, planting over 300 churches in over 30 countries in North and South America, Africa, Mongolia, Europe, Central Asia, and South Asia. We are honored to have you in our church in our little corner of central New Jersey this weekend. Your messages have been both inspiring and challenging for us to do. Let us warmly welcome Pastor Liu to the pulpit this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's my joy to come here to worship with all of you, and especially very excited this time that I have opportunity to come here to meet some of your pastor and elder, which I know ever since I was in college. But for so many years, we haven't had a chance to meet with one another. And this is time kind of a reunion. Huh? We can see each other. And to see after so many years that we still have the same passion and zeal to serving the Lord is a really thankful to God, because our God is truly faithful. Amen. You know, this year in June, several pastors from our church, we have an opportunity to go to Amsterdam, Netherlands, to attend a conference. The name of the conference is called the Empower 21. And there are almost 7,000 pastors and evangelists come from 125 nations. We gather together. You know, during the conference, we all convinced the next 10 years will be the best year to preach the gospel to everyone in the world. On one hand, it's because we believe that after the pandemic, God will bring us into a season of restoration. Because after a spiritual winter time, surely a spiritual springtime will come. But also, 2033 is the 2000 anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his church. So during the conference, all of us gather together, we recommit ourselves to the Great Commission. And we commit with each other to work together to preach the gospel to everyone in the world. Because we believe that everyone in the world deserves an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen? So I believe after the pandemic, definitely God will take us into a new season of mission. So how do we prepare to enter this new season of mission? This morning, I'm going to share with you three things. Number one, we need to dream big. We need to dream big. Sometimes when you hear that we want to preach the gospel to everyone in the world in the next 10 years, the first question you will ask is it possible? Can it be done? I remember during the conference, Rick Warren, he said something. He said, God is never looking for a capable man, but always God looking for someone who can dream along with him, can make God's dream his dream. And indeed, we should have a big dream, because indeed we have a great and mighty God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we just read the passage. It says, our God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can imagine according to the power which is at work in us. In other words, today you are sitting here. No matter how you can imagine, let me tell you what God can do in your lives, still greater than you can imagine. Amen. You know, when you look at the Bible is full of dreamers. Abraham is a dreamer. When God promised him that his descendant will be like a star in the sky, you know, Pastor Yongji Cho from Korea, he explained it this way. He said, when Abraham went out and looked at the sky and the star in the sky, suddenly all the star become a baby face and cry out to him, saying, Abba, Abba. And Abraham believed. Abraham is a dreamer. Joseph is also a dreamer. Joseph dreamed about the sun and the moon, and 11 stars bow down before him. No wonder his brothers were very upset. You know, his brother said, what do you mean? You mean we need to bow down before you? Even our parents bow down before you? So they sold him to Egypt. But even though Joseph's been through the slavery life, been the prison life, but it is a dream inside of him, keeping going and going and going. And maybe you say, oh, Pastor Tom, maybe you should say this thing to the young people. You know, oh, we are too old to dream. No. Let me ask you, at what age Abraham begin to have the dream? At what age Abraham begin to believe that his descendant will be like a star in the sky? It's at the age of 75. In other words, you're never too old to dream. Amen? We need to, because we have such a great and mighty God, brothers, I encourage you to have great expectation to God. Then maybe you said, Pastor, how can we dream along with God? Number one, you need to ask God, seeking God. Since dream come from God, then we will come and ask him. Remember Apostle Paul before he knew Christ? He is on his way to Damascus. And as a great light shined upon him, and he fell down on the ground. And he fell down on the ground, he knew the one who shined upon him is the Lord of his life. But he doesn't know who he is. That's why he asked the first most important question of his life. He said, Lord, who are you? He knows that this is his Lord, but he doesn't know who this Lord is. But you know, today we are the opposite, isn't it? We know who he is. He is Jesus. But we don't know he's our Lord. But before he knew that this is his Lord. But he doesn't know who he is. He asked, Lord, who are you? When Jesus showed him that he is the Jesus, he is persecuted, then Paul asked the second most important question in his life. He said, Lord, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? If you are my Lord, what do you want me to do? But I said, today, if Lord Jesus is your Lord, then you need to ask the same question. Lord, what do you want me to do? What you throughout my life, what do you want me to serve? How you want me to serve you? You need to ask the question. And you ask God to open your eyes to see. Not just see the thing around you. Not just see the situation you are in. You know, many times when you see your situation, you'll be despair. Just like Elisha and his servant, right? One time Elisha and his servant, they are staying in the city of Dothan. And then the enemy is surrounding the city. In the early morning, when his servants saw the enemy surrounding them, he came back to Elisha. He said, oh, Elisha, what shall we do? Remember how Elisha prayed for his servant? Elisha said, God, open his eye so that he can see. When God opened his servant's eye, he said, there's a chariot of fire surrounding them. And the number is more than their enemy. Hallelujah. You need to ask God to open your eyes, not to see your situation, but to see what God can do and what God will do through you in that situation. Amen. You know, Brother Demas, he's the founder of the Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship. When he was young, he was a businessman. When he accepted Christ, he entered the church. When he came to church, he found out the church is full of women. Men are few and weak. Praise the Lord. He's not a brother in the RCCC, you know. He saw the church full of women. And he came before the Lord. He said, Lord, what shall I do? And God put a great vision in his heart. He saw a great army of men rising up. And from that day on, he started a Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship. There's two goals in this organization. First of all, they want to preach the gospel to men. Secondly, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And from that day on, now they have the chapter in 175 nations in the world. Hallelujah. You need to see, open, ask God to open your eye to see what God will do through you, what God wants you to do, not just a situation, but what God can do in the situation. Amen? But when God shows you what he will do, let me tell you, never limit what God can do. Never limit what God can do. I remember in year 1995, when I about to start a new church, and I asked God, God, how shall I name this church? And God led me to read the scripture in Revelation chapter 22, from verse 1 to 3. It's about a heavenly church. And the heavenly church is a church of river of life. And God showed me a picture that this river of life will flow to the nations. But at that time, I thought, how can it be done? It's impossible. It's impossible. I cannot imagine that a Chinese church can flow to the nation, reach out to the nation. And I asked God, God, how can it be done? At that time, actually, I've only been to Taiwan. I'm born from Taiwan and China and United States. What do you mean about nation? I do not understand what is nations. And how can it be done? I don't understand. But at that time, by faith, I named our church River of Life Christian Church. Now, after 28 years, we have established more than 300 churches in 32 different nations, and most of them are local pastors with local people, not Chinese churches. Indeed, the river is flowing. Hallelujah. When God put a dream in your heart, never limit what God can do, because our God can do more than you can imagine. Amen? So first of all, we need to dream big. Secondly, very important, we need to pray hard. We need to pray hard. Why do we need to pray? First of all, we are facing a spiritual battle. We are facing a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You know, Paul very clearly teaches us that today we are not fighting against flesh. We are fighting the spiritual force of the evil in the heavenly realm. We are fighting the power of darkness. That's why I need to pray. Because the enemy is always trying to hinder the work of God. Remember the story of Daniel? One time when Daniel is praying for something for 21 days, God did not answer. And finally, the angel appeared to him. The angel said to Daniel, "Say, oh, beloved man of God." And Daniel probably looked around. Who are you talking to? Who are the beloved men of God? I'm not a beloved man of God. I prayed for something 21 days. God never answered me. But the angel replied to him. The angel said, "Daniel, for the first day you pray, God hear your prayer." Or sometimes we thought God didn't hear us, but no. God hear your prayer for the very first day you pray. Hallelujah. But why wait for 21 days? The angel said to Daniel, "Because the prince of Persia hindered me." In other words, there's a spiritual battle behind. And God is sending the angels to fight for him. So brothers, today, whenever we are in the ministry, you know you are facing not just a physical battle. Actually, you are facing a spiritual battle. You need to pray and pray hard. Hold on to God's promise and pray. And you need to pray down the stronghold so the gospel can preach to everyone in the world. Amen? Second reason why you need to pray, because you need to see the strategy of God. You know, when God put a dream in our heart, God always has his own strategy. In other words, we do not need to seek our own strategy. We do not need to find our own way. When God put a big dream in our heart, God has his own strategy. You know, remember Joshua, when he's about to fight against the battle in Jericho? Scripture says in the early morning, he woke, he approaching the city. Why is he approaching the city? Because he's a commander of the army. So he's very experienced about the battle. He's trying to figure out this battle, how he can fight this battle, how he can defeat the city of Jericho. So early morning, he is approaching the city. He's trying to find his own way. But at this time, the scripture said, suddenly he saw someone approaching him. And there's a sword in his life, in his hand. So immediately, you know, his reaction is, who are you for? Are you for me or for my enemy? But interestingly, that person did not reply, that, oh, I'm for you or for the enemy. That man replied that, I come as a chief commander of the army of God. In other words, he's saying to Joshua, hey, Joshua, you asked the wrong question. The question is not, which side am I? The question is, Joshua, which side are you? Which side are you? Are you on the Lord's side or your own side? Are you fighting your own battle or your Lord's battle? Are you seeking your own strategy or God's strategy? At that time, Joshua understood. He bowed down before the Lord and he said, this is your servant. Speak to me. Show your strategy to me. And when Joshua humbled himself, the Lord revealed his strategy to him. And when we heard a strategy, then you know this strategy must be come from God, isn't it? Because who else would come with such a crazy idea, right? The Lord showed him the strategy is that Joshua needed to take the Israelite people to go around the city one time a day. And the 7 days, the seven times. After 7 times, shout. And the city of Jericho will collapse. Who would come up with such a crazy idea except for God? Indeed, God has his own strategy. We do not need to come up with our own strategy. We need to humble ourselves to come before God and seek his strategy. You know, sometimes I think this is the most difficult thing for us as a Chinese in Northern America to do. So many times, the American, Chinese-American here, we are so intellect that we so used to rely on our own strength and wisdom. Last thing we do is come before the Lord and ask for his help. But today we need to come to humble ourselves and seek his guidance. Because this is a winning strategy. He has the winning strategy, not us. Remember Paul? When he wanted to preach the gospel, originally, he wanted to preach the gospel to the minor Asia, remember? According to his thought, his own strategy. But the Spirit said, no. And then he turned around, he wanted to go to the north. Again, his own strategy. His own thought. And the Spirit said, no, again. And then finally, the Spirit opened his eye, and he saw the vision that the Macedonian cried out to him, come here to help us. And finally, he knew there's a strategy from God. It's for him to go to Europe and preach the gospel. So you see, indeed, when God gives us a mission, when God gives us a dream, he already has the strategy already. Again, we do not need to come up with our own strategy. Let me tell you, so many times in the church, the same. We try so hard to figure out a way to do God's work. But it's not according to his strategy. It's according to our experience. It's according to our wisdom, but not God's strategy. We need to humbly come before the Lord and seeking for God's help. I remember when our church decided to go to Africa to do church planting. In Africa, there's 56 nations. Which one we should start? At that time, we asked the general director of Every Home for Christ, Dick Eastman, to come to our church. We just asked him, Lord, just tell us about the situation in Africa so that we can pray and we can seek God's strategy and will. And he talked about many things, but one story really rests in our heart. He talked about a young man in the nation of Togo that he has such a passion and desire to preach the gospel throughout Africa. You know, the mission committee in our church, we are so touched by that story. And as we prayed together, we felt that God would lead us into the nation of Togo. But where is Togo? I remember the first time we heard the name of Togo, we thought, is it a sandwich store or something? You know, Togo. Where's Togo? Where is Togo? Is it West Africa? Where is West Africa? Actually, they are French Africa. They're French speaking. And I think, I cannot even speak English well. And now I need to go to French Africa? I cannot understand. But at that time, the committee, we felt that it is the guidance of the Lord that we should follow. So I remember the first time I arrived at Togo. I realized Togo is such a poor nation. Even the capital city is like a rural area. And the many times I joke around that the road, you know, I said the road we ride on is the holy road because full of holes, you know. So all the holes are just bumping around. Holy road, I said. And first time I ride to Togo, I said, God, what are you doing? I just cannot see any way that river will flow from here to anywhere. You know, there's nothing here, absolutely middle of nowhere. What can we do here? But then I would still obey God's guidance. We start church there with a local pastor and local people. But 10 years after, in year 2010, something wonderful happened. You know, before then, in Africa, there's not too many inland airlines there. So if you want to fly from one nation to another nation, it's very difficult. For instance, if you want to fly from Ghana to Togo, these two nations is neighbor, right next to each other. But Ghana is English speaking, there was a British colony. But Togo is French speaking. It was a French colony. If you want to fly from Ghana to Togo, there's only one way to fly. You need to fly from Ghana to London, from London to Paris, and to Paris back to Togo. That's the only way to fly. It's very inconvenient. But in 2010, the CEO of Echo Bank in Africa, he is a Togolese, and he's a good Christian. And he decides to gather some investors together to start an inland airline for West Africa. And it's called a Sky Airline. And he decided to put the headquarters of a Sky Airline in the capital city of Togo, Lomé. And suddenly, overnight, Lomé became the center of everything. Became the center of the commerce and transportation. It became the center of everything. For every international business, they always want to set a regional office in Lomé. And that's why later we can quickly develop our church planting ministry to 15 different nations in Africa. Hallelujah. And now people always say to me, Pastor Tong, you have a good eye. But I said, no, I don't have a good eye. God has a good eye. Amen. We just follow his strategy. In the beginning, let me tell you, no normal man will start anything in Togo. But now when you look back, truly, it is God's strategy, and it is a winning strategy. So we need to pray. Every time we talk about mission, never rely upon your experience and wisdom. You need to rely on God, seeking God's strategy. All this year, so many people ask me, Pastor, how can you do it? In such a short time, you can start in 32 different nations with so many different people. There's only one secret: God's strategy, not our own strategy. So secondly, you need to pray hard. Number three, you need to act by faith. Step out by faith. Not only you need to dream big, you need to pray hard, but most importantly, you need to step out by faith. Because mission is a work of faith. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. God said it to Joshua, I will give you the land you set your foot upon. What does it mean? What does it mean that the land you set your foot? That means you need to step out first, right? If you do not step out first, where is the land you set your foot on? No, you need to step out first. It's a step of faith. When you step out, then God will give the land to you. Just like the story of Abraham, isn't it? You know, when God promised Abraham a land, Scripture said, when Abraham's stepping out, he doesn't even know where he is going. Amazing, isn't it? Today, I don't think we can imagine this. You know? When you step out, where are you going? I don't know. People will say, you're crazy. Crazy. But that, let me tell you, all this year I do mission. That's exactly the way we should go. You know, because let me tell you, if you don't step out, all you can see is the four walls in the church. That's it. That's all you can see. But when you begin to stepping out, you can see the opportunity God gave to you. When you seize the opportunity, God will take you into the open door God prepared for you. It's always like that. You say, where do we go? No, just move out. Step out. When you step out, you will see God's opportunity. By faith, you seize the opportunity. And God will take you to the open door that God prepared for you. Let me tell you, this all the way. We just follow the Lord all the way like this. People always ask me, Pastor Don, in the beginning, what is your strategy? I always answer, I'm sorry. Really, in the very beginning, we don't have any strategy. We don't have. The thing I talk about now is mostly I look back, then I can arrange and telling you. But in the beginning, really, we don't have any strategy at all. The only strategy we have is to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow by faith. That's the only strategy. You know, our leadership group all this year, we just practice one thing. We listen to God, seek out together. Every time our church have need a major direction, every time our church into stepping out, our leaders should gather together. We pray. If someone has sensed that God is taking us in this direction, then we're seeking together, praying together, or praying separately. But we need to come together, come to consensus. Then we decide, once we have consensus, no matter how difficult it, no matter how impossible we can imagine, we move forward. Just so simple. No matter how people tell me it's difficult, we don't care. As long as we come to consensus, we learn to listen to God, we come to consensus, we move forward. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. That's why in 1998, when we saw this opportunity in Mongolia, in that time, Mongolia just opened to the gospel. We saw the opportunity. So we moved into Mongolia. In 1999, we found a local pastor. We trained him. We started the first cross-cultural daughter church in Mongolia. And now we have 46 churches in Mongolia, in different provinces of Mongolia. And the one in Ulaanbaatar now is growing more than 1,000 people now. It's become the largest church in Mongolia. Year 2000, God put a heart in our God put a burden in our heart that we should go to Africa. I told you the story just before, that God led us to the nation of Togo. Even though we cannot speak French at all, but we obey. Even though we don't see any possibility, how can it flow to the nation from Togo? But we obey. We just move forward. And now we have established more than 100 churches in 15 different nations in Africa. In year 2003, again, God put a burden for us to go to Central Asia. I said, we don't know anybody in Central Asia. Really, we don't know anybody. How do we approach? So the one thing we do, we just go there. Since we need to go, just go there. We start prayer walk in Central Asia. From Kyrgyzstan, we move to Kazakhstan. From 2003, every year we do prayer walk in Central Asia. Until 2009, 6 years, every year. Even though we don't see any result, we go every year. Until 2009, finally we found a pastor in Kazakhstan who was willing to work with us. We train him. We start church in Kazakhstan. And now we have 4 churches in Kazakhstan. We have 7 churches in Uzbekistan, and we 1 church in Turkey. All local pastors with local churches. In 2012, again, we saw the opportunity in India. I said, we need to go. And now we have 3 churches in India, in Bangalore area. Then we moved to Philippines, Myanmar, and Cambodia. Brother says, this is how we follow the Lord, always. Listen, come to consensus. We obey no matter what. Even though there are no contact people, even though they're full of difficulty, even though people tell me it's impossible, we move forward no matter what. Maybe you say, Pastor, is it too risky? Hey, let me tell you, faith always involves the element of risk. Otherwise, not faith. But we're not taking any risk, no. But taking risk for God and for God alone. Amen? Sometimes you just need to step out by faith. You know, just like, I don't know if you've seen the movie of Tarzan. You know, every time I see the movie of Tarzan, you saw the Tarzan, you know, hold on the vine, and fly from one tree to another, and so, wow, how beautiful, you know. And I can imagine myself, you know, like a Tarzan, you know, holding the vines. Oh, look at this vine. You know, is it strong enough to hold me? Not sure, right? And look down, wow, it's a deep valley, you know. If I fall, surely die, you know. So look it up, oh, it may not be. And then look it down, no, it cannot be, you know. So many times I see Christian, so many times I see churches just like that. You know, looking up, oh, is the word of God strong enough to hold me? Look down, oh, the word is too dangerous. If we fail, surely die. So many times we're just looking up and looking down, looking up, looking down, never can step out. But brothers, let me tell you, the word of God is strong enough to hold you. The Holy Spirit is power enough to carry you through. You just need to obey God's guidance. Amen? When you obey, God will carry you through. And maybe you say, Pastor, what if we fail? Oh, the afraid of failure, just like a stronghold in our mind, isn't it? Especially in Chinese people's mind. We're so afraid of failure. But let me tell you, failure is never the result. Failure is just the process of going into success, isn't it? Remember Joshua? When God took him into the promised land, right? The land of Canaan is the promised land, isn't it? God took Joshua into the promised land. But did Joshua win every battle in the promised land? No. This is the promised land. Suppose he should win every battle, isn't it? But no. He still wins some, lose some. In other words, again, failure is not the result. It's a process. God will take you to his promised land. That's why Chinese always say, failure is the mother of, you don't know? Come on. Failure is the mother of what? Success. Never afraid about a failure. We surely will fail, honestly. We are human. Don't be afraid about his failure. It's not important. The important thing is not the failure or success. Important thing is to follow God closely. Whether failure or not, following God closely. I remember one time I was invited to a very big Chinese church in Southern California. They want to do some cross-cultural mission. They invite me to give them some advice. And right there, I talked to the senior pastor. I said, okay, tell me about your church mission project, program. And I found out that they prepare everything. They have discussed for this for many years. They prepare all the resources there. And I said, why don't you go? He said, what if we fail? I was like, okay, I understood, yes. So at the end of the conference, on Sunday, after my message, I just told them, I said, somehow I felt the letter of the Holy Spirit will give you a blessing I never blessed before. And they were excited. Okay, Pastor Tong, you're going to bless us in a way that he never blessed before. I said, yes, I'm going to bless you. And I said, I bless you in the name of the Lord that surely you will fail. But by faith, you continue to move forward. Hallelujah. And I tell you, surely you will fail. You know, actually, this brings them a lot of comfort, you know. Okay, Pastor Tong said we will fail. Okay, so fail is not that and horrible, you know. We will fail, okay. So if we fail, okay, it's okay because we will fail. But surely we will move forward, continue by faith. Amen. And 3 months later, the senior pastor called me. He said, Pastor Tong, we just started a mission point in Mexico. Hallelujah. That's how we follow the Lord, you know. You need to seek God's strategy and move out by faith. Move out by faith. When we do that, we'll experience what a great and mighty God we have. Amen. Again, a journey of faith is a journey of surprise, I always said. Surprised by God's great and mighty work. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? You know, in the last days, you know, when we working with God, I always think just like a child playing ball with his father. You know, when a father playing a ball with his son, you know, always the father prepare everything, isn't it? Everything is ready. The net is there, and the ball is right next to the net, you know. No matter how you kick, the ball will fall into the net, isn't it? Everything is ready. And he called out, hey, son, come and kick the ball. And the son doesn't know anything. Okay, I don't know anything, you know. And then the son kicked the ball, and the ball fell into the net. The father said, oh, we won, we won, we won. What do you mean we won? Is the father prepared everything? The kid doesn't know anything. Just kick the ball, that's it. But the father said, we won, we won. Let me tell you, this is exactly how we collaborate with God. In fact, the Spirit is preparing everything for us already. In this couple days, I share with you, let me tell you, this is a time for Chinese church to rising up. This is a moment for us. God prepared a way for us already. Everything is ready, but God saved the last kick for us. God saved the last kick for us if we are willing to rise up to collaborate with God. As we're entering this new season of mission, may the Lord help us have a big dream. To have a big dream. And pray hard. Most importantly, step out by faith. And surely you will become the vessel of God's harvest. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you because indeed we see this is a great opportunity before us to preach the gospel. Indeed, this is a time for Chinese church to rise up. I thank you for this church. All this year, you have prepared them to this point. And Lord, I pray, help them to dream big, to pray hard, and most importantly, step out by faith. And surely, in your hand, they'll become the vessel of your harvest season.